Hubhopper Originals.
हेलो एंड स्वागत है आपका आज के इस एपिसोड में। बहुत टाइम के बाद ये एपिसोड मैं आज रिलीज कर रहा हूँ। दिस कन्वर्सेशन हैपेंड समवेयर इन द मंथ ऑफ जुलाई एंड उसके बाद बहुत सारे गेस्ट लाइंड अप थे तो मैं रिलीज कर नहीं पाया, बट देन दिस इज अ वेरी स्पेशल एपिसोड एंड दैट्स व्हाई आई वांटेड टू वेट एंड गिव इट द राइट काइंड ऑफ अटेंशन दैट दिस एपिसोड वांटेड। टुडे आई होस्ट अ जेंटलमैन हु इज ब्रेकिंग स्टीरियोटाइप्स इन अ वेरी डिफरेंट फॉर्मेट। भरतनाट्यम डांस का हम सबे पता है, राइट? आई हैड द प्रिविलेज ऑफ होस्टिंग गुरु सुमिता महाजन, हु जिनके साथ आई हैड अ डिटेल्ड यू नो कॉन्वर्सेशन अबाउट भरतनाट्यम, अराउंड भरतनाट्यम। हर कॉलीग एंड अ वेरी फाइन जेंटलमैन हु इज लिव्ड हिज लाइफ जस्ट लाइक सुमिता मैम, हु इज लिव्ड हिज लाइफ अराउंड भरतनाट्यम, फॉर भरतनाट्यम, फॉर डेवलपिंग द डांस फॉर्म एंड द आर्ट फॉर्म एंड ब्रेकिंग ऑल काइंड ऑफ स्टीरियोटाइप्स। My today's guest is Mr. Parimal Phadke. He is a doctorate and working with the Pune University and he is a legendary Bharatanatyam performer. A dance which is primarily assigned, jo primarily ek female focused dance form hai, use ek male format mein create karna, redesign karna, Parimal ji ne वो रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी उठाई एंड ही इज बीन डूइंग इट वेरी वेरी अमेजिंगली। मैं ज्यादा बात नहीं करूंगा इसके साथ, लेट मी जस्ट क्विकली टेक यू इनटू कॉन्वर्सेशन विद मिस्टर परिमल फडके। लाइक एवरी एपिसोड दिस आल्सो हैज टू पार्ट्स, सो आज वी विल ओनली गेट टू नो अबाउट परिमल्स जर्नी, वेयर इट ऑल स्टार्टेड, हाउ हैज इट बीन, प्लस वी स्पीक अ लिटिल बिट अबाउट द एंशियंट टेक्स्ट एंड द एंशियंट स्कल्पचर्स एंड व्हाट आर सम बुक्स दैट वी कैन रीड। नेक्स्ट टॉपिक होगा और भी बढ़िया, सो नेक्स्ट टॉपिक में क्या है वो को पता चलेगा एपिसोड के एंड में, प्लस देर इज अ सरप्राइज इन द मिडल ऑफ द एपिसोड, सो स्टे ट्यून्ड। लेट मी टेक यू टू माय कन्वर्सेशन विद मिस्टर परिमल फडके, लेट्स गो। सत श्री अकाल फ्रॉम द हाउस ऑफ अमनदीप सिंह, यू आर लिसनिंग टू द बेबलियो बाबू शो, एक पॉडकास्ट जो है हटके इन टर्म्स ऑफ conversations, हटके in terms of content, हटके in terms of production, हटके in terms of me. So this podcast was started to help my own self and here I am sharing my journey, sharing your stories, sharing my stories, sharing stories from the books with people who have applied those learnings in their real life and they share those nuggets with us on this show. Wherever you listen to this show, hit the subscribe button, share it with everybody. Follow us on Instagram at Aman S. Sidhu and The Biblio Babu Show. Follow us on Facebook, The Biblio Babu Show and Amandeep Singh. Follow us on Twitter, Amandeep412 and The Biblio Babu Show. And with that, let me quickly take you to today's episode of The Biblio Babu Show. Real life, real learnings, real stories. Hashtag No Bakchodili. Welcome Parimal, welcome to the show. It's such an honor to have you here today.
The honor is all mine and this is my first podcast, so I'm really excited, Aman.
So this is your first podcast?
Yes, it is my first podcast. I think we dancers are obsessed with the video, right? So we never enter into the oral zone. We always stick to the visual zone. So that's the reason.
All right, so let's start the conversation from your journey. How has it been so far?
Right. That's a long paragraph. Are you? It's okay. That's going to be like an essay or something.
please go ahead.
Right. So I started learning Bharatanatyam at the age of 4.5. And all this happened in the city of Vadodara or Baroda, as it's known, in Gujarat. And though my parents belong to Maharashtra and my mother comes from Satara, my father comes from Pune, but they were mostly brought up at Kirloskarwadi, which is close to Sangli. Because of my father's job, we shifted to Vadodara in 1980. And at the very early stage of my life, I would respond to music through dance. So it was a natural expression in my case. And I think in 1980 itself, when my mother saw this, that I would express the rhythm and the melody through my movements, she decided to enlist me into a dance class. And the closest dance class was a Bharatanatyam dance class, where my first teacher, Guru Rama Srikant, she would conduct the class there. And interestingly, I was just 4 and a half at that time. And my mother, I remember my mother taking me to her with just the old 1980s audio cassette player and the audio cassette and playing some music. And at the very first instant, my teacher said to my mother that, you know, he's too young. We don't really take admission of such young students. You know, it's very difficult for them to cope with the manner in which the footwork is there, etc. And my mother just said that, you know, you should just see him once. If you don't like it, we'll wait for another 2-3 years. So she gave me an opportunity to give an audition, if you call it that way. And that's how the journey started. The audition was successful. And my teacher said, okay, I see a spark in him. And I'm going to take him under my wings. So I started my training at the age of 4 and a half. And by the time I was 10, I had already finished my first repertoire in Bharatanatyam. And at that juncture, we all shifted to Lucknow because my father changed his job. So we shifted to Lucknow in 1986. And 1986 to 1995, I was at Lucknow, but I would come back during summer and winter vacations to my first teacher at Vadodara. But I was also learning from another teacher in Lucknow during my stay in Lucknow itself. And that was at the very famed Bhatkhande Music College, which now is has been christened as Bhatkhande Deemed University. So there I was learning under Vasanthi Subramanyam. So I was taking those lessons there, continuing my lessons there during my school. But during holidays, I would always come back to my first teacher. And all through those years in Lucknow too, dance was with me. But I think I was too naive to understand whether I wanted to take that as a career or not. This question only came when I was in my 10th, and slowly things started really dawning on me that, oh, I need to think about my career and what profession do I really need to go. I think what happens once a particular hobby, if you may call, is with you, or a particular language is with you, like dance, you don't really isolate it and say, oh, this is going to be my career. You kind of take it for granted that this is going to be with you all your life. But I think as you grow up, as you mature, you realize that there is something called a profession and you need to really think about it.
Correct.
Seriously.
True.
And parents helped me do a lot of research during that time. I remember going to Delhi when I was in my 11th just to do an R&D on what is the future scope for dance. And we met somebody called Nana Kasar in Delhi. And Nana Kasar was a Maharashtrian guru who himself has a very interesting story to tell, honestly. He's no more. His three daughters are there in Delhi. But he had an interesting story because he ran away from his home to learn dance and came to Mumbai. And There are a lot of stories there we are talking about 1960s and 1970s and the struggle which he had to face and then how he shifted to Delhi, etc. So all those stories kind of made clear to us that dance is not going to be an easy journey. And he clearly stated that, you know, if you want to really stick to your passion, better have a backup plan and better have a very good, strong educational background. So at that moment, I was kind of confused and I said, okay, then let me search for something where I can connect. So I started preparing for hotel management because I thought tourism and hotel management is something I would really like to dabble with. You meet new people, you want to make them, you know, feel comfortable in a comfortable place. And I love cuisine. I love food. So that is another aspect. I said, oh, that would be creative to explore. But my elder brother advised me against it. And he said that since you've been learning dance since the age of 4 and a half, it is time that you continue your passion and then decide where this leads you rather than immediately taking such radical decisions at this juncture. So my brother has always come to rescue when I have had to take very strategic decisions in the context of my career. So that's how I decided to go back to Baroda, to my first teacher, to do my first solo debut during my graduation in commerce, post my 12th. So I was at the hostel. I think I literally devoted 6 hours every day to dance. And I finished my Arangetram there itself in Baroda in 1996. And while all of this was happening, parallelly, my father decided to come back to Pune, his native place. And we all again kind of met in Pune, where I was again in between two careers. I wanted to do a master's in communications, mass communications, and also had secured admission in dance, master's in dance at University of Pune. So I had secured admission in both these courses. My brother again suggested that finish your master's in dance. You can pursue your master's in mass communications even later. So I came first in my college, in my in the master's course. I passed my national eligibility test of lecturership even while I was pursuing my master's in dance in second year. So it looked like things were, things were really shining at that point of time. And so I hadn't applied for fellowship for PhD. So I decided, okay, let's try to stick to my dream of being a dancer and being with dance. And I gave my national eligibility test again. This time I ticked the box of fellowship and I got my junior research fellowship for my PhD. But there are always these challenges, and in another 2 or 3 years I faced a big challenge in my own college itself, where I was not really encouraged to pursue the fellowship for whatever reasons they gave me during that time, which were not really didn't really have any logic. So that was a big dip in my career, because I was already performing to a certain extent, teaching also to a certain extent, and also trying to get a hold of research. But this particular news came as a big drawback, a big blow, and I had to again think my strategy. So I said, okay, I already had a dream of doing my mass communications course, so let me try doing that instead of getting depressed. So I secured admission in Xavier's Institute of Communications for a 1 year postgraduate diploma in television production. At that point of time, I had kind of given up hopes that I'm going to come back to dance, to be very honest, because things were not really looking very good because of the fact that I couldn't secure my fellowship. I think I was very, very concerned about being self-reliant always. So even during my master's, I had got my scholarship for Ministry of Culture. So I had funded my master's course. I was trying to be in a position where I wouldn't have had to beg in front of my parents for anything. And I'm very, very, very overtly touchy about that. I don't like asking money from my parents for anything what I'm doing, whatever those endeavors are. So which is why whatever I wanted to do in dance, it had to be my money. It had to be my capital, not my parents' capital. And I was very, very concerned about that. So I was about to finish my television production course. Parallelly, I was also applying for a PhD in IIT Powai, and I got selected for that, which was hilarious. I mean, so many things happen at the same time, every time I realize, whenever I try to go away from dance, dance pulls me back with double and triple strength.
Correct.
But what happened during that time was Shambhavi Dandekar, the famous Kathak dancer from Pune, but who's now based in San Francisco, she approached me for a project, which was a collaboration of Bharatanatyam and Kathak. And she already had a US tour, chalked out. One of her earlier collaborators kind of backed out due to unavoidable circumstances. So I had to fill in for that project, which was called Nritya Sangam. And the whole project became such a big hit that I cancelled all my plans to going back to Mumbai and came back to Pune, relaunched myself again after that 1 year hiatus as a dancer and teacher. And our project went on to do a sequel again. Ritya Sangam went on to do a sequel where I and Shambhavi and me designed the whole project again. And we had almost 3 tours in US, one in Oman, second in China. And it really went on great guns. And to my utter surprise, you know how things work out. Destiny has one's own plans. So the college which had refused me a fellowship. Now we had a change of staff in that college. The HOD was different. And she was responsible for inviting me inviting me for this post of lecturership. In 2010, I interviewed for this post and I got selected. And thereby, from 2010, I am at the Center for Performing Arts, my alumni institution, my alma mater. And I am now as an assistant professor at my own Department of Performing Arts in Pune University since 2010. So this was a kind of a rough chart in the context of how my life has figured out. But I think my creative trajectory has been very interesting in the sense, what happened all through my learning is I realized that Bharatanatyam, being a female originated style, has very much less content for male dancers. And that was the trigger point which kind of made me push myself, where I had to constantly search content which would help to express my gender and not resort to content which is female based. So 2003, I premiered my first production, which was called Nayak, and it primarily featured male based content, featuring male compositions, featuring male characters. And some of the compositions were written by me in Hindi. Also tuned by me, and some of the were traditional compositions. It was under the mentorship of my senior here in Pune, Guru Smita Mahajan. While this was happening, I also was parallelly trying to explore how I could come up with my own ensemble presentation. And in 2006, I worked on a very tangential dance production, which is called Swarnim, and which is basically the story of gold. So it basically tried to show this whole journey of how gold from its most raw status gets melted and then mixed with other metals to mold itself into jewelry, and how the whole society ultimately gets seduced by it. So it was basically like a biography of gold. So this was explored through the production, through different genres. I did not stick to the classical dance genre. In fact, kind of went beyond it, went towards contemporary, folk, all genres, and try to experiment with how these genres work. And since then, alternate year, I have been always having my group dance productions. And the other alternate years, I have had my solo dance productions where I'm exploring my research on the male protagonist, which is my PhD topic too. And I got my doctorate in 2019, by the way. So at my own college again.
Oh, congratulations. So it's very interesting. That.
And that my doctorate is on the theme of Nayak again, the concept of Nayak in Bharatanatyam. And what it tries to do is tries to basically take do a sociological study as to why the male content was absent in classical dance, specifically in Bharatanatyam. And then it tries to create certain compositions on the basis of certain formulas given by medieval texts, Sanskrit texts, to create characters. They have given the characters in the context of female protagonist, Nayika, but I have tried to draw a parallel chart and tried to evolve certain Nayika classifications which are new, which are not given in the medieval texts. So I'm basically coming up with an absolutely fresh new classification for the Bharatanatyam male dancers, which also applies to male dancers from other classical dance forms. So yeah, that's been kind of my journey in research. But I'm really happy that the journey of my research took me to different countries, because I got an opportunity to present my paper in international conferences in Malaysia, Canada, Thailand. I participated in 2 World Sanskrit conferences. And parallelly, I've also worked with certain contemporary ideas, and that I got to present in Spain for an international dance symposium. So yeah, till now, that is how my whole dance journey has figured out. And of course, I have to mention all my gurus. So my first teacher, Guru Rama Srikant, Guru Vasanthi Subramanian from Lucknow, Guru Suchita Sapekar from Pune, and of course, my PhD guide and my guru, Dr. Jayashree Rajagopalan from Mumbai. They have been extremely instrumental in guiding me, pushing me and pushing the envelope. And of course, without the support of my parents and my brother, this wouldn't have been possible.
हम सब ने पंजाबियों के बारे में बहुत कुछ सुना है। एक ऐसी कौम है, एक ऐसी कम्युनिटी है जिसके बारे में लोग बहुत कुछ जानते हैं, बट उसके अलावा बहुत कुछ ऐसा है जो नहीं जानते हैं। तो ऐसी ही कुछ छोटी-छोटी बातें पंजाबियों के बारे में, पंजाबी कल्चर के बारे में, मेरे बारे में, मेरे लोगों के बारे में लेके मैं आपसे मिलूंगा हर सैटरडे अपने नए पॉडकास्ट टच बटन में, इंडियाज ओनली एक्टिव पंजाबी पॉडकास्ट, विच इज NHT स्मार्टकास्ट ओरिजिनल, अवेलेबल नाउ ऑन ऑल स्ट्रीमिंग प्लेटफॉर्म्स। आओ चलिए। Amazing journey, and you know, if we were face to face, you would have seen, you know, my ear to ear smile, and I've got goosebumps because, you know, primarily Parimal, if I have to give you, you know, a little context of my happiness right now, is you have dedicated yourself to a dance form which primarily is, you know, gender divided towards women first. Second thing, however hard you tried to kind of waver away, it kept on pulling you back. So your destiny was strong there. Third thing, you know, you are beaming with confidence and pride at the same time in whatever you do, you know. So I'm truly humbled to have you here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Right.
From the conversation that we've had so far, I wanted to first ask you about the medieval text. Now, I'm a history buff myself, and unfortunately, history आज की डेट में इंटरनेट पे है सिर्फ, otherwise it's very difficult to trust the sources. Even the sources on internet also not trustworthy. There is, you know, as I call it, information overdose है आज की डेट में. तो what are those certain medieval text forms that are still available and reliable to which, you know, we can refer to understand the culture of our country and various art forms?
So my references are mostly related to literature and texts on dance. When it comes to references of literature, there my reference point have been mostly Sanskrit texts, and they include texts like Rasamanjari of Bhanudatta Mishra or Rudrata's Shringara Prakasha, Shringara Tilaka. Sorry, Rudrata's Shringara Tilaka, Bhoja's Shringara Prakasha. So there is this whole chronology of authors during the medieval times, which if you want to access online, you can go to epustakalaya.com, quite an interesting website, and you can get these texts very much they are very much available there online. And if you really want to read further, you can visit our own Bhandarkar Oriental Research Institute on Law College Road in Pune itself. And you have the access of all these medieval texts. So the focus of medieval texts, medieval Sanskrit literature, especially in the context of my area, which specializes in poetics and Alankar Shastras, you will realize that the whole inclination was towards Nayika, or the expression of the woman in love. And this expression of woman in love went so deep and went so, I should say, minute. There was a lot of, more than macro, there was a lot of micro study, to the extent that you would have around more than 175 classifications of Nayika with their given examples in the form of Kavya or poems, love poems. And there's this whole range of texts which covers that. And it's not just in Sanskrit. If you look at Hindi, you will also find a big volume, voluminous collection of these texts in Hindi too, which would come up with Doha, Sorutha, and all the aspects of poetry, Hindi poetry, expressed through the woman in love. Interestingly, that doesn't happen when it comes to the classification of Nayak. Why doesn't it happen? Another, my hypothesis is that A, it was most of these, not most, all these texts were written by men and not by women. So they were written with the male gaze. So if they were written with the male gaze in mind, the examples were bound to be the object of beauty was going to be a woman. And we are, of course, talking about a medieval period where we are overtly patriarchal in nature. So in the given scheme of things of medieval period, it is just natural that Nayika was given preference. And the Nayika was just limited to the male protagonist of a play. And in the context of dramatis personae, or even if he was going to be analyzed in the context of Shringara Ras, it was just going to be on the basis of how many partners he had. So basically, it was presumed that a man is supposed to be promiscuous. That's something very interesting. So promiscuity of a man was very accepted. Of a woman, it was not. And on the basis of how many partners he had, he was classified. Now, in this context, I think and of course, I have to bring to you this particular fact that the object of expression, object of beauty, was always supposed to be a female and not a male. It's in the recent 20, 30 years that there's an acceptance of men being an object of expression. And that's why there's an acceptance of men being dancers. Also, if you look at the manner in which the male body was projected in the Indian context, they are not really very, they are not, they don't have muscles. The musculature was not our focus. The Greek and the Western form of paintings would focus on that, or even the form of sculpture would focus on that. For us, that was not the focus. But in the last 20, 30 years, even if you look at the films, if you look at the manner in which the male body has been projected, that has changed again. So the musculature is now in the focus and not just the spirit. So I think we are now kind of investigating into what could be the expression of masculinity in the contemporary context and what was the expression of masculinity in the medieval context, point number two. And point number three, of course, I think now we are trying to shake the basic foundations of patriarchy. And if that's going to happen, women are going to say that, okay, now I would like to watch men, which was not the case during medieval times. So if I want to watch men, I want to see men express. And if that is the case, then automatically acceptance of male dancers is also, you know, kind of surged. In the last 10 years, I see a big, big surge in the number of males taking dance as a career. And this changed, I think, post 2010. I would give the credit to the reality dance shows, which brought all the dance forms on one platter and showed both male and females on one equal zone, which has helped the common man to use words like choreography in a very colloquial manner, which was never done earlier. So look at the journey, the medieval text, the medieval society, the patriarchal values, the object of expression, and just compare it with the contemporary society, contemporary sensibility. Visual sensibility, contemporary sensibility of how you look at bodies, how you look at masculinity and femininity. And I see that change. And it's very easy to understand why probably male expression was not so important in the medieval period and why it has gained an importance today.
आप सुन रहे हैं द बिब्लियो बाबू शो, एक पॉडकास्ट जो है हम सबकी हेल्प करने के लिए. तो सुनते रहिए, सुनाते रहिए, शेयर करते रहिए. नाउ लेट्स गो बैक टू द मेन एपिसोड. सो देयर इज दिस क्वेश्चन दैट इज यू नो बीन हिटिंग माय कॉन्शियसनेस फॉर क्वाइट सम टाइम. A very long time. So, right. Just to give you a little background, I am a percussionist myself. Right. I'm into Indian classical music. Right. I play tabla. Right. And that happens through our religion, through Guru Granth Sahib.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I am into, you know, Indian classical music, the ragas and percussion.
Mm-hmm.
It is happening with me for quite some time. I've been thinking that, you know, music also, instrumentation also, percussion, dance, everything has been divided, you know, based on genders. Like, abhi main tabla bajata hun. But in my fraternity, if there is, you know, a woman playing tabla, ek alag sa perception log rakhte hain, ladki tabla baja rahi hai, iska ek ladki bullet chala rahi hai. There's no big deal. It's a motorcycle. Anybody can ride it. Whoever has the control of the senses can ride a bike. Where do you think, Parimal, ki ye shift hua? Matlab, kab se masculinity ko muscular bana gaya? Aapne bola ki 20-30 saal pehle, but wo hua kyun? Like, kyun hum log apne medieval texts se aaj tak, we are still patriarchal. I still call ourselves absolutely patriarchal, because we are still stereotypical. Aadmi sadak pe thuke chalega, ladki thuke to hai, kaisi badtameez hai, you know? So, choti-choti cheezein wo abhi bhi hain. Why do you think that we have still not been able to, you know, get done with these stereotypes as of now? I mean, till today. जी, हो गया एपिसोड समाप्त यहीं पे। अब ये जो क्वेश्चन है, इसका आंसर आपको मिलेगा नेक्स्ट एपिसोड में। गाइज, आई एम रियली सेइंग दिस फ्रॉम द डेप्थ ऑफ माय हार्ट, बीइंग अ पॉडकास्ट होस्ट, दिस इज अ ब्लेसिंग, राइट? बिकॉज इस कन्वर्सेशन को आप तक लेके आने के लिए जितनी क्यूरियोसिटी और एक्साइटमेंट आप में होती है, उससे तीन गुना मेरे में होती है। बिकॉज आई रियली रियली कैन नॉट होल्ड माई वर्ड्स बैक वाइल शेयरिंग these episodes with you. Iske saath, take care of yourself. I will see you in the next episode. Tab tak, hashtag no bakchodi. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Do share this podcast with your friends. Khud bhi suno, dusron ko bhi sunao. Khud bhi haso, dusron ko bhi hasao. Jahan pe bhi aap podcast sun rahe ho, just hit us up. Just look for the Biblio Babu Show on Gaana, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Hubhopper, Cuckoo FM, Anchor, wherever you listen to your podcasts, just ask Alexa or Google and we will be at your service. Iske saath, I will see you in the next episode. Tab tak, hashtag no bakchodi.